So this month, we're talking about clearing out the clutter of our hearts to make more room for Jesus. And last week, the first kind of clutter that we talked about was, dare I ask if anybody remembers? Worry, that's right, the clutter of worry. And I tried to convince you during last week's sermon that you can't pray and worry at the same time, right? Because to pray is to give something to God, and to worry is to grab it right back out of his hands. So at the end of that sermon, we talked about a way of trying to get rid of worry and to replace worry with prayer. And if you weren't here, and if you'd like to know what my suggestion was, you can talk to me after church today. And those of you who were here, I hope that you actually tried that throughout the week. So today, we're going to talk about a second kind of clutter. I said we were going to talk about three. So today is the second kind of clutter, and it's one that I think is common to all of us, just like we all kind of worry. I think we all kind of do today's kind of clutter also. So the kind of clutter that we're going to talk about clearing out today is fear. And the first example of fear that popped into my mind when I was starting to think about what sort of Bible story we could read this morning, the first one that popped into my mind is the story of Jesus and the disciples in the boat when the storm comes up upon them suddenly. So I'll be reading from Matthew 8, 18 to 27, and it's included on the bulletin insert if you would like to read along with me there. So starting at verse 18, Matthew tells us, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross over to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Well, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Kind of an interesting response to what the teacher of the law said. So then another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." Then verse 23, Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed them. And suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the sides of the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. So the disciples went and they woke him saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Okay, now I know you could keep reading, but I want you to stop because I think this is a very exciting point in the story. So I want you to stop and think about the last time you were really frightened. You were really afraid, like the disciples in the boat. I mean, you know what they're feeling, right? You know what fear feels like, right? In the face of some kind of threat or danger, your heart starts to pound, right? It starts to go a little bit faster and a little bit faster. And your blood pressure starts to rise. You start to maybe get a little warm. And you start to breathe a little faster, and your whole body becomes tense, right? Like every muscle is tense. So when you're afraid, your body naturally initiates this chemical reaction that prepares you to get ready because something's about to happen, right? And that something tends to be fight or flight, right? So you either prepare yourself to stay and face whatever the fear is, deal with that threat or that danger, or you're ready to run, right? Because it's all about self-preservation, and sometimes the best thing to do is just to get out. Fear helps us to survive. It kicks us into action, and it keeps us from doing stupid things that we know we shouldn't do, right? Keeps us from touching the hot burner on the stove. And it keeps us from walking out into the middle of oncoming traffic. In this kind of strange twist of logic, fear actually protects us because it's a sign, it's a signal. So imagine then what those disciples must have been feeling in that little fishing boat when the waves started to rock them back and forth. In the Greek, the word for a furious storm is actually the word seismos. And in Matthew's gospel and other places where he uses the word seismos, he's talking about an earthquake. So it's like there's an earthquake happening on the water, and these disciples are in this little tiny boat, and their fight or flight instinct is kicking in, and they quickly realize there is not a darn thing they can do to save themselves, because the wind and the waves and the earthquake on the water, completely out of their control. The waves are too big, the boat is too small, and that shore is far too far away. So suddenly their fear turns into panic, and they freeze. The only way out, the only thing they can think of that can possibly save them, is the other guy who's in the boat sleeping. So they go to him. They run over to him. He's oblivious to the danger raging around them. He feels nothing of their fear, nothing of their panic. No increased heart rate, no increased blood pressure. It's only their cries of help. Lord, save us! We're going to drown! That's the only thing that wakes him up. And when he wakes up, in verse 26, it says, he replies to them, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Exactly the response, word-wise, that I would expect from Jesus. He's kind of harsh on them, I think. "Why are you so afraid?" he asks. And I imagine if those disciples had been capable of any kind of coherent thought in that very moment, they would have tried to start to list for him, "Well, here are all the reasons why we're afraid. Like, we have some very legitimate reasons to be afraid for our lives." But maybe they couldn't speak because they couldn't believe he just called them, "You of little faith." I bet they're probably even wondering, "What in the world does my faith have to do with anything? I'm talking about life and death with this boat and these waves." And they watch Jesus get up and rebuke the seismos, the earthquake coming from the sea, and suddenly it's calm. Now, scientists say that it takes 20 to 60 minutes for your body to relax after a particularly fearful encounter. So I'm going to guess that that blood is still rushing through those disciples even after the sea is calm. It's possible even that that sea became so calm so quickly that maybe they thought, maybe we were the ones who fell asleep. Maybe this was all a nightmare because it's so unbelievable that it even had happened. So their blood must have been pounding and their minds must have been racing, trying to figure out how the events of this crazy day, Jesus saying, "Come and follow me," and people asking him questions, how that fits with being out on this boat and being rocked by the waves. One minute, they're listening to Jesus talk about what it means to follow him, and the next minute, they're desperately clinging to the boat, just trying to survive. Now, I got to tell you, I don't think it's an accident that these two stories are side by side in Matthew's gospel. Because in the first story, Jesus tells them what it means to follow him. And in the second story, he shows them what it means. I guess you could kind of say that this may be Jesus' way of warning the disciples, of really letting them know what you're getting yourself into when you decide to follow Jesus. It's kind of like what the church sign out front says, if you saw it on your way in. It says, faith makes things possible, not easy. And sure, the disciples were people of faith, but maybe their faith hadn't been tested very much. Maybe it was still a little bit on the immature side. But now, having gone through this seismos of on the water that day, their faith, I think, grew. And it grew so much that verse 27 tells us that they said to each other, the men were amazed and they asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So though their initial response to danger started out as fear and panic, it quickly became a response of faith and certainty and even awe. The fear that was cluttering up their hearts was suddenly erased through this experience on the water, and it was replaced with trust in Jesus. And in one afternoon, they learned the truth that though life with Jesus will never be easy, he is in control of all of the chaos around him. So last week, when we were talking about worry, I tried to give you a little way that you could work throughout the week to kind of work on clearing out the clutter of worry in your heart. So I thought, you guys seemed to like that last week, so shoot, now I got to come up with something for you to try this week also. So I was kind of pondering a practical way to help you clear out the fear in your heart and in your life. And my brain immediately connected with a song, like it usually does. That's just kind of the way that I'm wired. And the song I thought of, we just sang a few moments ago. Be still and know that I am God, which is from Psalm 46. And I thought, those are the perfect words for us to think about when our hearts are pounding and our blood pressure is rising and our breathing is labored and our body is as tense as it possibly can get. Instead of letting our fear turn into panic, like the disciples did, we can react the way I think Jesus wants us to, the way he reacted, with confidence and calmness, because we have faith in the God who commands even the winds and the waves, the one who controls all of the chaos of our world. So I'm going to quickly teach you a little kind of prayer that I'm hoping you can do wherever you are, whenever you need it, that will remind you of God's power in the midst of life's storms. Because when that fear happens, I want you to react with faith instead of fear. So it's short and it's sweet. And it actually involves one of the little memory verses on the other side of your bulletin insert. So even if you don't remember me saying it, you can just reference that sheet. And it's the first verse that's there. So before we get there, we've done this before, so hopefully you'll be okay with doing it again. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And if you're not an eye closer, you can stare at the floor. That's fine. Do whatever it is you need to do to be able to listen deeply to what God is going to say to you. And just like we do at the beginning of worship, you know, take a few breaths, try to slow down your heart and slow down your mind. And I want you to just listen to what I'm going to say. And I'm going to do it twice. So you'll hear it once, and then I'll do it again. And it's a very simple little prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know Be still and be. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. And just be. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Friends, when we find ourselves face to face with danger, there is no need to be afraid, because we have faith in the one who has the power to calm the storms in the world around us and to control the chaos. Jesus never promises that life with him would be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But he does promise to never leave us and never forsake us. Even when we're feeling threatened or endangered, and our fear instinct can kick in and it will help us to survive, but not by striking out and not by running away. But instead, we can survive facing our fears with grace and confidence, because we know who holds us in the palm of his hand. So even when the boat of your life is being rocked by the biggest seismos imaginable, we can be still, because we know he is God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.